with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering here, Lord, this evening.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit and your presence is in this place.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for coming here and dwelling with us. And we thank you, Lord, that we will never have to close these doors, no matter what the circumstance might be. We will honor you. We will praise you. We will believe that you are mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Be glorified, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have been talking the past few weeks about works. We have been talking about faith. We have been talking about works and faith. And we have been talking about salvation. All of together making up one large pot of jambalaya. And I could understand how such a topic has, for lack of better terminology, has been controversial over the past few decades, maybe even centuries. You have one person who will come and say that James, specifically James chapter 2, is such a controversial chapter in the Bible because it goes totally against what Paul says. So James says that man is justified by works, and then faith is part of that also. And then other scholars say that Paul preaches vastly about justification through faith, right? Whereas Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaks to the Gentiles, speaks to the unbelievers. This is always what's left out. Paul is preaching to, is reaching out to those who don't know God, and then has a very strong presence to the believers, like, for example, the believers in Corinth. Whereas James is speaking to the church. So they always leave that out. How is it that these two big men of God are so controversial with each other? One speaks massively about grace and faith, and the other one speaks about works. Regardless, this has been something that has been present ever since the Old Testament, going back even to the days of Abraham. And how he was justified. He's called the father of faith. But in order for him to get to where he was, he had to do things. He had to do stuff. He had to do works. So, he didn't just have faith by just not doing anything. By just going to the church and attending church service. Or just believing in a God. His actions backed him up every step of the way. But now, I want to continue where we left off last Wednesday. And I'm going to cover just two verses that we spoke about last week. And then we're going to go into continuation for this week's teaching. Brother Harry, can I have there, can you search on the list? You have the list, yes? Right there. I'm going to be looking for Acts chapter 10, verse 35, is where I'm going to start this evening. Do you see that? Yes. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. In Acts 10, 35, it says this. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by, capital H, him, is accepted by the Lord. This is my opening verse here this evening. Do you think that the Lord is able and capable of completely wiping away this coronavirus just like that overnight? Yes, 100%. I was recently told by my mother that Sid Roth had a man of God in his show, and ultimately what needs to happen, and these are instructions from above, that the president needs to call for a day of prayer. A national day of prayer. And if we have a national day of prayer, that's it. That's it, brother. It's gone. That's all it needs. Doesn't the Bible say if we as a nation come humble ourselves and come before the Lord, that the Lord will heal our land? The Lord can heal our land. So, back to our opening verse. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. If we all collectively come to our knees at noon, I mean, in the perfect world, how wonderful would this be? Let's just say President Trump would call a national day of prayer to be this Sunday, and he would say, at Sunday noon, I mean high noon, everyone in the country go down to their knees, and I need you to call upon the Lord God. Wouldn't that move the hand of God? Oh, man. That's righteousness. That's the righteousness that they're talking about right there. And the works. The Lord promises us that he will accept our offering. He will accept our prayer. He will accept our act, our works. Right there. Every single nation will be accepted by him. You see that? Another one that I want to bring to your attention that I did cover last week. And now, this centers it a little bit more towards you and I. Because right now, this is broad. This is referring to a nation. Can I please have Romans, Brother Harry, chapter 2, now verses 13, please. Thank you. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Not just us here sitting here and listening to a sermon, listening to a teaching, being part of a worship service. No. We got to act on it. We got to do something about it. But I was actually kind of excited to learn about a national day of prayer. Wouldn't that be amazing? And how much of a witness we would be to the rest of the world. And then that country will call for a national day of prayer. Oh, man. How many will come to the Lord? How many would know the God of Israel? That's nice. That's all right. But now, moving on, moving forward. I want to bring to your attention right now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul is referring to this chapter, to this verse here, I'm sorry, to the law of Christ and not the law of works. And there's a distinction between here. There's a massive difference between the two. And why am I bringing this up to your attention? The law of Christ, as described right here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, is faith in Christ and works based on grace. I'm going to say that again one more time if in case you missed it. The law of Christ here, referred to this verse, is faith in Christ and works based upon his grace. Meaning, God owes us nothing. when it's based upon His grace. And if in case you didn't know, works of law means no faith in Christ, and legal works based on debt, meaning God owes us something. And in this particular situation, what would God owe us? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. But now, we don't have to pull around a goat. We don't have to pull around a bull. We don't have to take grains and wine and everything else, you know, because this is the law of works. But now, the law of Christ is now faith-based. And it's dependent 100% on grace. So, now one more thing here. I want to bring to your attention now something slightly different. I'm going to flip it around here a little bit. Romans 4, 5 and 6. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. I've recently spoken about this. And I've spoken about someone who potentially might have done the least amount of works possible in the history of man and was saved. But yet he did the works. And the person that I'm referring to was the thief on the cross. You see that? The thief on the cross believed in the Son of Man. And he knew that he was a righteous man. Much so that he rebuked his fellow thief and said, "Don't you talk like that? Have some respect. What's wrong with you? This man didn't do anything to deserve this. We did." You know? And that counted to him as righteousness. And then he looked over to the Lord and said, "Lord, just remember me when you go where you go." He was referring to heaven. So he believed there was a heaven. He believed there was a paradise. He believed that he was going, the righteous man of God, was going to a different far place other than that realm there. And he said, "Just remember me. Remember my name." And the Lord said, "You will be with me in paradise. Tonight, you will be with me in paradise." You see there? But here in this verse, listen to what it says. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Verse 5. Now, in here, to him who does not work, but believes, his faith is accounted to him as righteous, like David said, who is talking about righteousness apart from works. And in here, Paul is emphasizing that works must be done in one thing, and one thing alone, and that is faith. It must be done in faith, not outside of faith. Just like the thief on the cross. He believed and he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are done outside of faith, we are in a system of debt. That is the difference. This is works of the law. And the works of the law is based upon debt. Legal works based upon debt. Ultimately, what it means is God would be owing us something. But that's not the case. God does not owe us anything. Why? Because we have grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are done in faith, just like James requires, we are in a system of grace. And what happens when we are in a system of grace? God rewards us. Now things change. Now we get rewarded based upon the faith that we have. We get rewarded based upon the works that we do. Works of righteousness. Faith-based works. Now we get into a reward system. And hence Paul accepts the works performed under God's forbearance. I want to bring to your attention now, to back all of this up, 1 Corinthians 3, 15, 12 through 15. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. You see there? He will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Your soul will be saved. You will be saved, but you will suffer a loss. And now, this is the works that is required through faith, through grace. And that is in part of a reward system. God's reward system. When the day comes. I want to bring also another verse in 2 Corinthians now. We're going from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Thank you. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or the exhorters, or the adulterers. Since then, you would need to go out of this world. It's 2 Corinthians, Brother Harry. There we go. Thank you very much. That's what I'm looking for. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Right now, this verse is talking about receiving, that each one may receive the thing done in the body, meaning on earth. It's a system. It's a reward system. None of our works that we do for the Lord, in faith, in all humility, through the grace of God, will go unseen. Every single thing that we do, from small to great. So, Paul accepts the work performed under God's forbearance, which lead to justification, and then to the final thing, eternal life. That's it. Eternal life. These verses have nothing to do, nothing at all, with faith alone. The last two verses that I've brought to your attention have nothing to do with just faith. And they have totally to do with labor, with work. Paul uses the word alone three times in Romans chapter 4, but never uses it with faith. He uses this in Romans 4, 12, verses 12, verses 16, and verses 23, if in case you wanted to go back and check. Now, certainly, if he wanted to teach faith alone, he would have done so. And he would have made it clear, very clear, on faith alone. Now, I want to bring to your attention this next verse right now. And stick with me on this. Romans 6, 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, potentially you might be asking, Pastor, why are you showing me this verse right now? What has that got to do with what we're talking about right now? And I'll answer that question. Obedience leads to righteousness. That's all. Obedience leads to righteousness. Obedience is a good work, an act of the will, which leads to righteousness before God. This is why I'm bringing up this verse. It was last week that I read to you in James that if you know to do good and you do not do good, it's counted to you towards evil. You know? It's counted towards sin. Thank you. It's counted towards you as sin. So, obedience is crucial for every single one of us. That in itself is a work of righteousness. Obedience leads to righteousness. Now, can I have another one here? 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Paul teaches that God will bless us so that we may provide in abundance for every single good work. Good works are encouraged to complete our faith. Whatever good anyone does, he or she will receive the same from the Lord. And God rewards good works done in grace every single time. And now, moving on to Philippians 4:17, please. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul says, I seek the fruit which abounds, which means also increase to your account. And the fruits, when he mentions the word fruits here, he is referring to good works. That's what he's referring to. Meaning, your fruits will increase justification. Paul says that these works increase our account, which is also called merit. Just so you know. But the fruit, works, and merit are all born from God's unmerited and undeserved mercy, won for us, won for you and I by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there. Now I'd like to bring to your attention Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Titus 3, 8. Yeah, you got it. Thank you. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Good deeds are excellent and profitable to you and I. Good deeds further justify us before the Lord our God. Now, this verse should be contrasted with three verses prior, with Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Do you have that, Brother Harry? There you go. Thank you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Salvation through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the difference here? One verse is talking about salvation, and the other one is talking about for us to pay close attention to practice good works to keep our salvation. We are not saved based upon what we do. We are not saved based upon our works. There's a massive difference here. But also, if you could flip it around back again, Brother Harry, to verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Maintain. These things are good for you and I. The maintenance. Once we believe in God, once we have given our life to the Lord, once we have been baptized, submerged of water, set apart, set aside, renewed, let's take heed and maintain, pay attention of maintaining good works for the Lord. In this verse, in verse 5, what we have done refers to the work of law or obligation for which we seek payment. But verse 5 also says the washing of regeneration in reference to baptism saves, which is a work of grace for which we are rewarded by God in one person, and that is in Christ. There is a distinction between works of law or obligation and works of grace. Has a huge difference. And now, John chapter 3, 36 shows that believe in Jesus means obeying in the Lord Jesus. And here we go. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Having faith means being faithful, which requires good works as well. And hence, obeying our Lord Jesus means doing works of love and not just having faith alone. And now to come to a conclusion here this evening. To be justified before God, we have to demonstrate faith accompanied with works also. Nothing by itself can bring our salvation alone. These few verses should bring enough to teach us that the doctrine of faith alone is not a correct doctrine. If faith alone is right, then dare I say the Bible potentially might be full of errors. And we all know that there is no errors in the Bible at all. So, ultimately, what will you believe? Who will you believe? Sometimes traditions, sometimes denominations, they might teach the contrary. And all I have to say about that is, may the Lord have mercy on them. 100%. And we will pray for them. And we will intercede for our fellow brothers and sisters. Amen? We're going to conclude with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your promises. And your promises, Lord, that you will reward every single thing that we do here on earth for you in the body. And Lord, may we maintain faithful, Lord, to you. May every single thing, Lord, that we do for you come from a pure heart. May every single thing, Lord, that we do for you not be for unrighteous gain. May we all do it, Lord, because we love you and because we want to be obedient, Lord, to you. I ask, Lord, that your grace would abound upon us. Lord, I ask for wisdom to everyone, Lord, who is listening right now online. To everyone, Lord, who's physically here, give them, Lord, a dose of wisdom that only the Holy Spirit, Lord, can give. Guide us, Lord, every step of the way. May we always, Lord, comply to you and to you alone. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.